welcome. Thank you so much for coming. And the goal of this gathering today is to give you some resources for handling challenging emotions, challenging relationships, and challenging times in general. For many of us, this is the biggest crisis of our lives. Can't leave home. Maybe you're stuck with people you like, but you're still stuck with them. Maybe you're stuck with people you don't like, and that's even harder. Maybe you're stuck alone, and that's the hardest person to spend time with. So whatever your situation is, I hear you. And we're going to give you some resources today so you can handle and manage emotions better. Because in the end, emotions are just some energy and information moving through your body. So the universe was kind enough to drop the most sophisticated, complicated, amazing, beautiful machine in the entire cosmos into our crania, and forgot to give us an instructor's manual. So today we're going to give you a little bit of an instructor's manual for how to run things even better. I'm going to start with the story of an ex of mine. So back when I lived in Boston, I dated this very vivacious, very smart, and very cute graduate student, and we got along amazingly well, and you just spent a lot of time together, talked about all these different things, and you know, the sex was obviously amazing, and we thought we were in love with each other and making all these declarations to one another, but she kept on breaking up with me, and I was like, no, you should not do that. And every time, you know, I'd make the plea and we'd get back together and it would be so dramatic and romantic. And then she'd do it again. And then she did it a third time. And by a third time, I'm like, okay, this is too much work. And then she takes off and goes to Europe. It gives me a little bit of breathing time to think about the whole thing. And I'm thinking, you know, she's pretty cool. I'll give it a shot when she's back. But if not, I will move on because frankly, maybe she's not that good for me. Who knows, right? But at the same time, I'm still pining. I've got that, oh, she's so great. Why can't she see how good we are together? Maybe you've had that feeling before too. So anyway, she comes back and she doesn't call me when she comes to the airport. I'm like, all right. And finally after a week, I'm like, hey, maybe we should get together and talk about stuff. She's like, oh, okay. But just so you know, I'm engaged to marry the guy that I'm in love with. I'm like, excuse me, what? So he's like, yeah, I'm in love. I'm going to marry him. I'm like, what? So it turns out that the entire 6 months that we were making these impassioned declarations of love to one another, she had this other dude in Europe whom she was engaged to and didn't tell me. So here's like a month or two of me moping and being like really, really depressed and really unhappy with the world and thinking, oh, she's so great. Why can't we be together, right? To realizing, oh my God, she's a lying, cheating son of a bitch. So, and then in that instant, suddenly all those feelings went away. All that pining, all that inadequacy, all that, wow, I need this thing to complete. It's like, poof, suddenly I realized this is not somebody I want in my life. And I felt so much lighter. And the freedom was instant. In that moment, when I got the new information, I had a new frame for seeing the whole thing. The frame was, is this person good for me? And it turns out that she was not. And therefore, I was done and I was healed. So it turns out that reframing is a super powerful tool. So I tell you the story because this is about reframing. Where are you right now in life? And one frame is, I'm stuck. One frame is, I'm cooped up at home and I can't stand it. Another frame is, you know, I'm about to lose my job. This is terrible. There's any number of frames here, right? And one of the dominant frames that people have right now is, I'm stuck at home and I can't move, okay? So I invite you to try out some new frames with me right now. So right now, the frame we have around this is something like, I must stay at home, okay? So say aloud with me, I must stay at home, and notice how that feels like in your body. I must stay at home. Okay, good. Now let's try another one. This one is, I have to stay at home. Say it out loud. I have to stay at home. And notice what that feels like. Okay? Okay, good. Now, let's see. I got this here. Great. Now from I have to, let's go to I ought to stay at home. So say that out loud and feel it. I ought to stay at home. Okay. Next one. I should stay at home. Say it out loud. I should stay at home. Okay. Next one. I could stay at home. Okay. A little more freedom there. I could stay at home. Notice what that feels like. I can stay at home. Okay. Notice how that feels like when you say it out loud. I want to stay at home. Okay. What does that feel like? And finally, I get to stay at home. Okay, so in this one particular modality that I've been training in called neurolinguistic programming, we call these modal operators. The name doesn't matter that much. Don't even care if you remember it. But the idea is that each one of those little modifiers that we use, starting from must, have to should, to ought to can, to want, to get to, right? They denote a certain amount of freedom inside our minds. And must does not sound very free, okay? And that's the frame that a lot of people are operating in. It's like, I must stay at home, otherwise I'll catch diseases or transmit them to other people. However, if you go and you move through that all the way to get to, suddenly the feeling is very different. So I encourage you to try on new frames. And the frame I want you to use for this entire time that you're quarantined or sheltering in place or whatever you want to call it, is the I get to frame. In fact, the I get to frame is useful for pretty much anything you do in life. So this morning, I saddled up and put on my running shoes. I'm like, okay, I've got to go running. Got to go running. How much freedom is there in that? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how free does that feel to you? It's maybe like a 4 on my scale, right? But I realized, hey, wait a sec. I actually enjoy running. I've been a runner my entire life. It's a beautiful 72-degree sunny day out here in Santa Monica. I get to run. Oh my God, what a privilege. I'm alive. I'm healthy enough to do it. This is amazing, right? And so, if you are cooped up at home, I propose that you use the frame of I get to stay at home. Because if you are in, say, New Delhi, right? They've pretty much got martial law there. You don't get to leave at all. So, it's not a choice at all, right? And you may not have one person in your room, which I'm seeing for most of you is the case here, just you in a room. They have 15 other people in the room, right? So, okay, that's not a situation you have. You could also be stuck somewhere else with a whole bunch of people you don't like. Okay, what would that be like? You could be forced on the street. You could be homeless. What would that be like? You could be in any number of situations that are far worse than where you are right now. You could be stuck in some foreign country, not able to come back to the US, away from your friends and family. You could be in some country with super loose quarantine rules, such that the disease is spreading even worse than it is here. You could be in a country that doesn't believe that the disease is a real thing. Okay, so you get to stay at home. And if you use that frame, you will feel a lot freer in general, no matter what you're doing. So feel free to use that frame for other things in your life too. I get to write my next book. I get to work on this project that's been sitting on the back burner forever. I get to dance alone by myself. I get to do a lot of things. So this is also about gratitude. It's about taking stock and realizing that where we are, we have a lot more than we imagine. So gratitude is all about noticing what there is as opposed to what there is not. And the what there is not frame, well, that's infinitely large. I do not have a yacht. And the problem with that is once you have the yacht, then you're going to worry why you don't have a super yacht. So that there's no upper limit to that unhappiness that you can generate for yourself. On the other hand, the frame of, wow, let's see what I have. You have a fridge full of food. Pretty amazing. I mean, really, we don't have food problems, at least not right now. So anyway, lots of room for gratitude here. And using this new frame, the I get to frame. Okay, good. Questions about that? Oh, wait, we have messages. 8 new messages. Welcome. Thank you, everybody, for coming here. If you have questions, put them in the chat frame. Put them in the chat window, and I will see them. Let's see. Everyone in meeting. Boom. Okay. Fantastic. All right, moving right along. So I've got a lot of stuff to convey to you. So if you have specific questions, and please share with me what it is that you would like me to help you with. What are the challenges you're experiencing right now? If you had a magic wand and you could wave it, and you could make a certain issue go away, what would that be? And If it's not enough teepee, I probably can't help you with that. But there's a lot of other things that I can help you with, especially if it involves emotional issues or dealing with humans issues and stuff like that. And the more you tell me, the more I can tailor these gatherings to meet your specific needs. Okay, good. Feeling stuck. Okay, that's a good one. How can you reframe being single and alone during this pandemic? Okay, that is fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. So here's a quick reframe for that. Right now in London, in England, they have distributed code words to women who are stuck at home with their battering partners. So you may not know that there's a lot of partner battering happening, and it's mostly men beating up women. And so if you are now sheltered in place and quarantined, guess what? You're stuck with your tormentor. So now they have these codes that they give to these women and tell them, when you go to the pharmacy, say this quote, this code, and then we can potentially help you out. So imagine what that situation would be like if you're not single and you are with somebody at home. So compared to that, being single, pretty darn good privilege. You are safe, you get to specify the environment that you live in, and you get to, I don't know, roam around in PJs all day, have nobody say anything to you. So lots of room for gratitude if you are single and alone. Okay, fantastic. So, and this is not about, wow, I'm so much better than these other people. No, this is about deep, deep compassion and realizing that wherever you are, there's people who are worse off than you. So feel that gratitude. And we're going to do a very specific meditation from Tibetan Buddhism called Tonglen later on. This may be the heaviest duty, most industrial strength meditation you could possibly do to reprocess emotions and feel great about yourself and the world. So we're going to do that. Compassion sounds good. Yes. Great. We have a question. How can we maintain an abundance mindset when the platforms we use to look for jobs is flooded with people sharing their layoff stories? Okay. Well, here's one suggestion I have, and I was going to do this a little later on, but I think now's a good time for it. So there are two aspects of staying sane and healthy and happy in this situation. And one is doing stuff that makes you happy and adds to your thriving and joy and just generally being well. And the other is minimizing the misery. And the misery is almost always self-inflicted, okay? So right now there are probably not crows flying through the window trying to peck your eyes out. But there is somebody who keeps on checking CNN, keeps on going to the TV, keeps on checking COVID-19 news, keeps on checking some job board with stories of people sharing their layoff stories. Okay, so what we can do is we can have good mental hygiene. In the same way that you don't put Twinkies and other junk food into your body, you don't want to put junk information into your body either. And what I recommend that you do is to stay aware. You want to know what the news is. You want to know what's actionable. But to be fair, right now in the United States, there's not a whole lot of things you can do. In fact, it's all about not doing things. It's all about staying in place. So unless you have a way of removing our president or removing crazy governors who still don't believe that the disease is serious, or if you have a way of distributing 10 million masses people, most of us, the thing that we can do is to stay home and stem the spread of the disease and also be an epicenter of sanity for all the people who are connected to us. That's the best thing you can do, which means that additional information from the outside in the form of so-called news is not going to help you much. So either quit news entirely if possible, not likely, or concentrate it to a predetermined, well-circumscribed chunk of time during the day. So I recommend that you get to the news in the afternoon. Do not check it first thing in the morning, because that sets up the rest of your day for worry, fear, doubt, okay? Set your day up with health. Set your day up with equanimity. And then later on, when you've kind of built up your strength already, and you can handle it, go check the news. And you may do so for a set amount of time, 30 to 60 minutes, I recommend, no more, right? 30 minutes, probably enough. And do all of your worrying during that time. So just have a worry binge, do it right then and there, concentrate it, and then be done with it. And do not check news until the next day. Because if there's something that's super important, guess what? Somebody's gonna call you. I've been on this earth a few decades now, and I will tell you, Not once have I heard something on the news that has actually changed my behavior. If it was important enough, somebody called me and told me about it first, okay? So this is probably true of most people I know. So news is never news. It's old, okay? And it's very in there that's actionable unless you happen to already have the disease, in which case you're going to be a totally different regime and probably not on this call. So avoid information that disturbs your equanimity. So this is all about avoiding the self-inflicted misery. And then we're going to do the things that actually add to your happiness, health, equanimity, and thriving. Okay. And somebody just said, it is God's gift to be single right now. And yes, please recognize that. And yeah, you know, it may be a little difficult here. I see you there, Desika. And it may be a little difficult because loneliness is hard. We are super social beings, but believe me, the alternative can be a hell of a lot worse. Okay. I mean, just imagine being in a household of maybe six other people and having to deal with them. Right. And every day one of them goes out to buy something and they come back, you know, if they're contaminated. Single, you are incredibly blessed and privileged in this situation. Okay, good. So let's move along to some other good stuff. What do we got here? Okay. So before we continue, what I want you to do is to rate yourself both on the happiness scale and the misery scale. So the happiness scale is woohoo, how good do you feel? 10 being that woohoo, awesome, amazing. 1 being down in the dumps, kind of want to curl up in a fetal ball and disappear. And the misery scale is, you know, 10 is, oh my God, things are so terrible. 3 of my relatives died. 5 of my friends are in the ICU and I'm not feeling so great myself. And 1 is no misery. Life is great. Peachy, hunky dory. Okay. And the thing to notice is that these two things do not add up to 10, right? If you're a 9 on the happy scale, you're generally not 1 on the misery scale because these are two different neural pathways and they're measured differently too. So psychologists have shown this over the course of many, many years and experiments. So reducing self-inflicted misery and increasing happiness, they're two separate tasks that we are going to take on both of today. Okay. So do that. Give yourselves a rating both for on the happy scale and the misery scale. And then when you're done with that, we're going to keep on going. And let me give you my tips for working from home. So I started working by myself in 2005 after I left my first and last corporate job. And, you know, it's got its challenges because if you don't see people all day long, you might go a little batty. But at the same time, you get to be your own boss. You get to create your own environment. So here are some ways that I've kept myself from going batty. So first thing you want to do is you want to get ready in the morning as if you are going to be a responsible adult working with humans. So that means you shower, you shave, I guess if you're female, you don't have to do that, and you dress up. You dress up as if you're going to present yourself to the public. So people make jokes about, oh yeah, I've got my daytime pajamas and my nighttime pajamas, and I would recommend that you actually wear decent clothing, such that you are presentable. I mean, for all you know, I could be not wearing pants right now, but actually I am wearing pants, and I think you should also, just because it puts you in a different mindset. So uniforms matter. When you put on a costume, you feel different. This is why people dress up when they go to, you know, costume balls. This is why a man in uniform has a certain appeal for certain people. So uniforms do matter. So put on the uniform of adulthood, put on the uniform of empowerment, and that way you will feel different and you'll feel better about the whole day. Number 2 is have a schedule. So I do not recommend that you haphazardly go about your day and just kind of let things happen. Because what tends to happen is you go and you check your email. That is a intermittent reinforcing stimulus, which means that it's highly addictive. So you do that, it's like, ah, shit, ran out of new emails. Oh, okay, I'll go check some news site. Ah, CNN, Google News, whatever. I know that because I do this. And then you're like, oh, just ran out of that. Okay, now let's go to LinkedIn. Okay, I did that. Okay, let's go to some other site. Okay, let's go see some cat videos. And then, oh, it's been 50 minutes. I'm going to go back and check my email again because guess what? That's going to be new now. You can do that all day long. Your brain is designed to do that all day long because we have these programs in our brains for foraging. We have the same brains we had from 300,000 years ago. And now they've been plopped down in this urban environment that is totally not the savanna we evolved in, but still wants to do the same stuff. So the browsing program you have inside your head, the foraging program you have inside your head for going and picking berries and finding food, That's what's operating when you are on your Facebook feed and it's an infinite feed, okay? You want to avoid that. You don't want to have that. That's a really bad idea. So you want to, if you're going to do that, once again, concentrate later on in the day, but have a schedule. Have a schedule, and I recommend that you have 4 hours of productive work per day. I call these the power hours, and have a Pomodoro timer. So time it for 50 or 55 minutes. So 50 minutes on, 10 minutes off, or 55 minutes on, 5 minutes off. That's how I do it. During those 5 minutes, you want to take off completely, not do anything at all that involves work. Maybe you want to do some push-ups, maybe you want to do some sit-ups, maybe you want to dance around. I don't care what you do, but just don't be on your computer working. And then resume. And the rule is, during those 55 minutes, there will be no interruptions. You will not look at your phone. You will not look at Facebook. You will not be checking email. You'll be doing the thing that you said you're going to be doing. So that's the method. And if you do 4 of those Pomodoros, 4 55-minute sessions a day, I swear to you, I promise to you, you'll be at least twice as productive as you were before having so-called 8-hour days, okay? And then you're home free. Then you can do other things. And I also strongly encourage you to schedule in the important stuff in life that sometimes gets forgotten because there's urgent stuff in life or there's compulsive stuff in life. So I always say the opposite of happiness is not sadness. The opposite of happiness is compulsion. So checking email, checking Facebook, checking Twitter, these are all compulsive behaviors. And the more you allow them to replace healthy behaviors that actually make you happy, the more you are inflicting misery upon yourself. So if you enjoy reading, schedule in the reading time. Put it on the calendar. 3 to 4, I read. That is a sacrosanct block of time for you. That's what you do. You enjoy it and it happens. People tell me, oh, I don't have time to read. Well, they have time to noodle for 30 minutes on Instagram a day. What happened if you actually read instead of that? Well, what happened is you'd read 45 books a year if you did that. I've done the math. If you read 300 words a minute, which is about average, and do that every day, that's 180 hours. And it takes about, I don't know, 6-7 hours to read one book. So you're reading a bunch of books, okay? So the math probably didn't work out there, but really, it does work out. So 30 to 40 books a year on 30 minutes a day of reading, that's pretty amazing. It's probably more than most of you are doing. So schedule in the important stuff. What else is important? Exercise. Totally not optional right now. You must move around. You must exercise. I don't care if you do it in your bedroom. I don't care if you go out for a run. Whatever it is, do it. Do something. It doesn't take a lot. And fast walking is like the ultimate exercise that gets you 95% of the way there. If you're not a pro, if you're not going to the Olympics, which guess what? You're probably not going to the Olympics anyway. Walking is good. Get this app called Freeletics. It's all about bodyweight exercises. Or my favorite is the Johnson & Johnson 7-Minute Workout. Get a workout in every day. There is nothing in the world that elevates your mood more quickly and more reliably than exercise. Do it. Okay. And let me finish up with the final technique. Yeah, I think we said it. Yeah. So, and then you want to schedule the stuff that matters but isn't work, like reading, and check news later in the day, not first thing in the day, and set aside concentrated worry time if you must. And the thing that you do want to start your day with is what I recommend, meditation. So we're going to do a 3-minute meditation now. So this is my favorite meditation. I've been doing it for about 15 years. And this particular type of meditation comes from many different traditions. So if all of them have converged on this method, then it must not totally suck. And if you do this correctly, what's going to happen is it just completely clears your mind. You enter the space of having pretty much no thoughts. And afterwards, you're going to feel different. So notice what your happiness rating is right now on a scale of 1 to 10. Make a mental note. Maybe you wrote it down from before. And then we're going to launch into the meditation. You ready? All right, let's go. Take a deep breath. And close your eyes. And in the Hung Sa meditation, or the Hum Sa meditation, we do 3 things. The first is that you close your eyes and you look up. Your eyes are looking up at the space in between your eyebrows. And the second thing that you do is you pay attention to your breathing. You pay attention to your inhalations and the sensation of breath entering your nostrils. And you pay attention to the exhalation and the sensation of breath exiting your nostrils. Not forcing, not exaggerating, not holding the breath, just breathing normally, but paying attention to that sensation of air as it moves through your nose. It was always there, now you're just paying attention to it. And the third thing that we do is on the inhale, you say silently to yourself, hum. And on the exhale, you say silently to yourself, saw. Hum, saw. Paying attention to the feeling of air going through your nostrils while keeping your eyes fixed, looking up at the space in between your eyebrows. We're gonna do that for 3 minutes together. Breathe in, hum. Breathe out, saw. And have your eyes look up at the space between your eyebrows. If you notice any thoughts come in, that's totally cool. That just means your brain is still working. You're not brain dead, which is good news. All you have to do is come back to the three practices. Hum, inhale, feel the inhale, exhale, saw. And keep your eyes up, looking at the back of your forehead. Breathe in, breathe out. 2 more minutes. Say on the inside, hum as you breathe in. And say on the inside, saw as you exhale. You keep your eyes up, looking up at your forehead. And as you do this, notice that when you do all three things, all thoughts disperse. When a thought comes in, just thank it and say, oh, hello, thought. Nice to see you. And then go back to the three practices. Come back to center and let the thought go. Ten more seconds. Two, one, ding, okay. Open your eyes, come right back here. And I invite you to notice how you feel right now and to ask yourself, what happened to all the turmoil in the world? Where did it all go during those 3 minutes? Because if you did those three practices, the hum on the inhale, the saw on the exhale, the paying attention to the feeling of breath on the inhale, and the feeling of breath on the exhale, and also putting your eyes up. If you did those three things, it's pretty much impossible to have any outside thoughts. And so outside in the world, there were refugee camps with hundreds of thousands of displaced people suffering. There were wars in places like South Sudan and other places in the world, in Syria. There was malaria that was already there, that was killing people. Diseases that we don't usually have in the Western world. There was all kinds of pain out there, and you were not aware of it. You were in this space of your own consciousness, which is actually impervious to harm. The metaphor that I like to use is that of a TV screen. And on that TV screen, you can project any show you want. You can have on there Breaking Bad and druggies killing each other. You can have on there a great National Geographic show, being in nature and seeing animals. You can have a show of kids prancing around and enjoying themselves. You can have anything you want on that show, but what it does not do is it does not turn your TV into that show. The TV is still the screen. It remains there. So your consciousness is that screen. Your consciousness is impervious to harm to anything that's happening in the outside world. So when you do this meditative practice, what happens is you are starting to identify with that screen instead of the programming that's on there. And the programming is going to happen. I mean, that's what TVs do. That's what their job is, right? They show stuff, but they do not change themselves. There's the substance of the TV remains the same. And so I invite you to start to identify more with that TV screen of your mind, that consciousness, instead of the stuff that happens. And those thoughts could be, oh, wow, my friends are getting sick. Oh, wow, doctors are dying. Oh, wow, this jackass said something incredibly stupid again on live TV. That'll be the president of the United States I'm talking about. Oh, wow, this is such injustice. And all these thoughts, they're not necessarily invalid, but they may not necessarily be helpful. So the goal here is to keep you healthy, happy, and sane. And if you are able to give your gift in the world to the world in a way that it can serve the world, then having these thoughts of worry, doubt, and fear do not necessarily empower you. However, the more you meditate, the more you're able to identify with this screen, with this consciousness, which is incredibly expansive and incredibly powerful. So, as I said before, there's an old saying I like about trees. The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. So if this was the first time you've ever meditated, that was probably the three longest minutes of your life. And you know what? Not that easy. It took me a good 10 years to get a regular meditation practice started, even though I knew it was good for me, even though I'd been studying Eastern wisdom for a very long time. But I did it. And for you, it's going to be a lot easier because a lot more people are doing it these days. And therefore, you have a potential group, a cohort of support and examples of other people who are doing this kind of thing. So I invite you to take up this practice and start small. Start with 2 to 3 minutes a day, and then add a minute every day until you get up to at least 20 minutes. And thank you for sharing. You got the Pomodoro timer over here. And let's see. Great. And thank you for sharing here. We can't go out, not even going for a walk. Use some exercise at home. Yes, you can exercise at home. Open a window, exercise at home. I feel incredibly privileged that in California, we can still walk around if we want to. In some place in the world, you can't even do that. I think in Manila, you need to have some kind of pass if you want to go out, or you need some kind of totally essential function you need to be doing in order to leave the house. So if you can still leave the house, I encourage you to go ahead and do so. If you cannot leave the house, then please exercise in place. Okay, so question, what word are you saying to describe these brain breaks? I am not sure I understand what you mean by that. Hum saw, you mean? Brain breaks? Okay, great. And somebody likes The Choice, the book The Choice by Dr. Edith Eva Aker. Yes, that was in the email that I sent you about this. Those books are very good. Those aren't just good books. Those are the best damn books I've ever read on lifting your spirits. And I read 160 books a year. So yeah, this is high praise. So when I tell you like Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now is awesome, it is in fact awesome. And Edith Eva Aker, great. Viktor Frankl, most of you probably already read it. So fantastic. Okay. Question from my friend Lisa. Come stai? Do you like transcendental meditation? And what we just gave you was a little bit of transcendental meditation. I haven't actually experienced explicitly what transcendental meditation is, but my understanding is it's mantra-based. And we just gave you a mantra. A mantra is just that mental repetition of hum and sa. It just gives your mind one more thing to focus on. When you do that, it just becomes a lot easier to focus. So yes, focused mantra-based meditation techniques definitely work. What does not work for me is charging people a whole lot of money to tell them that your mantra is Ram. And, I could come up with that myself. I didn't need that. So meditation is free and should be free. So great. Question about organized activities, get away from social media. So for that, I just said, make sure you set aside times. If you want to do social media, put it on the calendar. So say from 4 to 4:30, I'm going to binge on social media, go totally crazy for it and not feel guilty at all. As opposed to surreptitiously picking up your phone at 9:30 and kind of looking at Instagram. Boop, 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 boop. Look, that thing, there's a book by Nir Eyal, and I think it's called how to build, it's something along the lines of how to build addictive products. And they, in all of Silicon Valley, they use this as their Bible to create addictive products. And they came up with the infinite feed. The infinite feed is like this infinitely wide and long field in which you can forage for berries. And guess what? You're not going to ever stop. Well, actually, no, you do stop. You stop when your bucket is full and you've gorged yourself. But with social media, you can't feel that fullness. You keep on going. So you must impose limits on yourself. And I'll tell you what I do. I don't have any addictive apps on my phone whatsoever. There is no email. There is no Facebook. There is no Instagram. There's none of that shit. Okay. So the only way I can check on those things is if I go on my computer. And then I make rules about when I can go on my computer and when I'm done. And after, for example, 8 p.m., I don't touch my computer anymore until the next day. And that way you maintain your sanity just a little bit more. Okay, good. These are great questions. So let's move right along. Let's see what we got here. Oh yeah, we've got a really good one. So right now what would be useful is if you could share with me a particularly uncomfortable emotion you're feeling these days. So something that may actually feel viscerally bad to you. Something you can feel in your body. It's like, ugh, this gets me frustrated, or it's painful, or grief, or something, okay? But something that has a visceral component to it, because we're gonna use that to teach you the next technique. All right, Yukon Dusika says, she's in Yukon, lucky you, beautiful place, right? And must be beautiful there. So, let's see what we got here. Everyone. All right, breakup pains, that's a good one. Deflated, that's interesting, okay. Great, so let's go with breakup pains, it's a good one, but also maybe a little bit of frustration, maybe a little grief over all the things you've lost, all the aspects of your life that you can't attend to. But whatever it is, I want you to go and grab onto a feeling you're having in your body right now that's not entirely pleasant. I'm going to teach you a technique that will hold you in good stead for the rest of your life. This technique is free. I'm teaching it to you so you can use it and feel better whenever you want. So here's what you want to do. So I invite you to close your eyes and notice this feeling that you're having, a challenging feeling, a perhaps uncomfortable feeling. Maybe it's actual pain. I use this with my patients who are experiencing physical pain, like after an operation or they've been injured or something. So or breakup pain. Breakup pain is just like physical pain. So what I want you to do is go ahead and actually focus on that uncomfortable feeling right now. And if you don't have one right now, just summon it. It's easy. Just imagine Trump branding up there and lying to all of us. Okay, that's a painful enough feeling right there. Okay, good. So you got the feeling. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through a series of very unusual instructions. And I invite you to follow them to see what happens, because the end result is going to be very surprising and interesting. So take a deep breath and imagine that feeling that you're having right now. And imagine that you have in front of you a volume knob. So those old school stereos, you know, they have these volume knobs. Maybe you have one of these stereos, but you can turn it up. You can turn up the volume and it goes, makes things louder. So I invite you to imagine you have in your mind's eye a volume knob for this uncomfortable feeling. And right now it's about whatever the intensity of that feeling is. So say out loud what that number is, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, okay? And what I invite you to do right now is to go ahead and in your mind's eye, grab that volume dial, right? And go turn it up. Yep, turn it up, that's what I said, turn it up. Go turn it up like 1 or 2 points. So if it's like a 4, go to 5, 6, and ooh, notice how it just got a little cringier, a little less comfortable. My God, why would you do that to me? Ooh, okay. Well, if you succeed in turning it up, guess what? That means that the volume dial works. And you can take that same volume dial and go back to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all the way down. And you can even have another one that pops up that starts where the other one stops. So if there's any volume dial pain left, just go turn it down even more. And this may seem really, really rudimentary and silly, and the effectiveness of this thing so far has been 100%. There's not a single person I've worked with, that I've done this with, that this hasn't worked on, okay? And it's instant, and it's free, and it has zero side effects. Okay, so go ahead and use this whenever you are having a feeling of discomfort. And the idea is that if you can jack it up, most people are really good at making themselves even more miserable. If you can do that, guess what? You can also take that volume dial, turn it the other way, and make yourself a little bit less miserable. Okay, so good. So fantastic. So who found that? Raise your hand if that worked for you. Worked for you? Did you do that? Okay, good. So it seems to work. 100%. We're still 100%. Fantastic. So that's a really simple thing. And if you ever like have back pain, if you suffer from chronic pain, there's a gating theory of pain perception in neuroscience that says that sure, pain is real. It happens. However, we have these gating functions inside our heads that people haven't quite figured out exactly how they work, but they determine how much of that you should actually feel. And guess what? When people are on the battlefield, they get shot, they don't feel it for a while. The gating function said, survival important. Let's not worry about the pain for now. And then when they stop, they're like, oh crap, I've been shot in the thigh. Who knew? Okay, so you can change the gating function in your brain using your brain, which is kind of amazing if you ask me. Okay, fantastic. A tad lighter. Well, if you feel a tad lighter from that, we're going to give you another one. It's going to make you fly, baby. It's going to be amazing. Okay, so this is the urn technique. You can call it whatever you want. I call it the urn technique because urn has a certain ring of finality to it. What goes inside an urn? Ashes and things. But guess what? You can put whatever you want in an urn. So once again, I invite you to think about some negative feeling you have. And maybe this is a bigger one, like grief or I don't know, just solitude or loneliness, but whatever it is, I invite you to imagine that you have an urn. And this is an urn, like a vase-like thing. Could be a box, could be whatever you want, but urn, nice and formal, right? Also, there's a finality about urns. The thing you want to put in an urn is a thing that you're not going to take out of an urn because, you know, ashes, dead people. So imagine that your emotion has a certain color, okay? And when you have that color, say it out loud. Okay, this particular emotion for me is, what is it? I'm going to say it's a little bit gray. It's a gray color, yeah. And what I invite you to do is to use your breath to take that emotion out of your body, pull it up, and blow it into that urn. So imagine that urn is sitting on your mantle or sitting, you know, in the corner of the room or in your storage, whatever it is. But breathe in, take that color out, pull into your lungs, and blow it into the urn and put it in there. A couple more rounds. Put it in the urn, and hand gesture helps. All kinds of physical things, engaging your whole brain helps. Put it in the urn, and then take the urn that's filled with that emotion and just stash it somewhere. Put it on the mantelpiece, put it on a bookshelf, put it somewhere, but say, hey, urn, you can just hold that negative emotion for now. I don't need it. And notice when you do that, suddenly your shoulders kind of rise up. A weight has been lifted off your back, and you feel a little bit lighter. So this is a technique that I've adapted from Jack Kornfield, actually. It's a Buddhist technique, and it totally works. You are transferring all that heaviness, all that pain into the urn, so you don't have to feel it. And the urn, you know, frankly, it earned it, so it's all good. And if you make goofy jokes, you should do that all the time. So this is serious, but we also want to keep it lighthearted because we're reducing misery and also increasing the joy. So that's a very good misery reduction technique right now. So let's recap what I've given you so far. So we have the reframe. Reframe, super important. We have the schedule. Make sure you have a schedule and dress up in the morning. You're all very well dressed right now, except for the people who don't have their video on. So it's kind of a self-selecting crowd, but I'm going to go with all of you who are so well dressed right now. What else? You have the hum saw meditation technique. And you've got the volume dial. Okay, now I'm gonna give you the big kahuna. So this is super powerful. And you know, I've been studying Buddhism in various guises, and every once in a while, I come across a Tibetan Buddhist teacher. And Tibetan Buddhists are pretty cool because Tibetan Buddhist is like quantum mechanics. It's super complicated. They have all these different things. They have mantras, they have yantras, they have, you know, whole system for dying and all those stages you're supposed to go through, and they practice it all day. I mean, it's super scientific stuff. They've figured a lot of things out, and I'm a big fan of simplicity, but at the same time, a lot of the things I've learned from Tibetan Buddhism are very, very practical and very useful. And one of them is this meditation technique called Tong Len. And Tong Len very simply means giving and receiving. So what you're doing in Tong Len is you are receiving the challenging emotions from other places or even from yourself, and then you're giving pure white light and bliss to everybody, okay? So what does that feel like? What does that look like? Let's just do it. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. And all of us right now know people who are suffering. And maybe that person who is suffering is you. If so, you can pick that person. Or maybe you can pick a first responder, you know, a doctor, a nurse who is sick, or a relative who has been struck by disease, or maybe was already sick. You know, 4 of my friends were diagnosed with cancer a month before this pandemic hit. So there was no shortage of pain before all this happened. So go ahead and find somebody who is suffering right now. Maybe those kids in refugee camps, maybe all the nurses who are working in a hospital near you. And imagine the suffering that they must be experiencing and allow yourself to really get into it. Imagine yourself being that person on the front lines or that person on a respirator or that person in the refugee camp and notice all the challenging emotions they must be feeling. And get deep into it and really allow yourself to get into it. Even if you start crying, you may even start crying if you allow yourself to go all the way there. And imagine that the challenging emotions that they're experiencing is a black color. This dark cloud that's inside their bodies. And what I invite you to do now is to breathe that in. So with your next in-breath, imagine you're breathing that into your body. You're taking that, you're receiving that black cloud of challenging emotion, that pain from them. You're taking away from them and putting it inside you. And then when you breathe out, what happens is you're turning that, you're transforming that into bright white light of bliss, of healing, and spreading that back to that person and to yourself and to the rest of the world. So go ahead and now breathe it out. It's like your body is this factory that changes, that transmogrifies this black cloud and takes it from pain, turns it into bliss. So go ahead and do that for a few cycles. And really allow yourself to go there. And if the person who is suffering is you, allow yourself to be with your own suffering. Just go ahead and really feel it. All the loneliness, all the grief, all the frustration, all the confusion, all the uncertainty, whatever it is, feel it all. Feel the pain and breathe it in. Breathe in the black stuff. Imagine there's a hologram of you and you take that black stuff from that hologram of you and you breathe it into your lungs and then you blow it out as pure white light, the white light of bliss, of healing. And you can do this for as long as you want, and you may actually feel your body get warmer as you do this because there's a real process of alchemy, of transformation happening inside of you. And as you do that, notice how that makes you feel with each breath that you take. Notice how this empowers you to handle a situation that before seemed intractable. Now you can handle that differently. Now you have an option. Now you can do something with it. And whether or not through the ether you are actually touching that person there, I don't know, and nobody can tell you whether that's happening. But what you are doing is you're making this emotion a lot more manageable, and you are making yourself an epicenter of compassion. So when you do encounter that person, you are more able to be in a position to help them and to have a clear mind and more present in order to be able to give your gift and be of service to the world. So that's Tong Len. That is the heaviest duty meditation that I know. And if you really get into it, you will cry, you will feel like your body like change, your temperature will change. And then when you breathe it out, you change again. And you realize that you can become an epicenter of healing and grace. And if that ain't the best service we can do the world right now, I don't know what is. Okay, you can develop a vaccine in 2 days, but short of that, this is pretty darn good. And this is a skill that you can keep and use for the rest of your life. This will hold you in good stead pretty much forever. There's no reason why you should just use it at this time. So questions, we have some questions here. Okay. Okay, good. We have a question about reading, which I will get to. Email the recordings. Yes, I will edit the recordings. I'll make them available. I'll send them via email. Trying to work feels like moving through mud. Well, that's great. Well, so send me your stuff. How's about Tonglen? Tonglen is exactly how it's spelled. So I will send it to everybody. Yeah, Tonglen. Just call Tonglen. And the beauty of YouTube is that you can go on there, you can say Tonglen, and somebody will have a Tonglen. There's also this meditation app called Insight Timer. And they have a whole lot of guided meditations there. And I'll bet you anything that somebody has a Tonglen meditation in there. And one of the best resources I've ever encountered for meditation is Tara Brock's book. It's called Radical Acceptance. And that is an amazing book. It's on the list that I sent you. It's on the reading list. But Tara Brock, Radical Acceptance, it's got Tonglen in there. It is the bomb diggity. All right, more questions. So let me address the one about, your voice is kind of perfect for this. Why, thank you, Tina. Very kind of you. My work feels kind of like mud. And that's a great metaphor. And that's a powerful metaphor because immediately you know what that feels like. Oh, molasses, mud, I'm going through it. Well, guess what? Your mind came up with that metaphor. It's not real. Your mind is very creative. It came up with that. Can your mind come up with a different metaphor? How about it's like orange juice? My work is like orange juice. Ooh, what's that like? Well, it's not as heavy as mud, and it's kind of sweet. A little sticky afterwards, but perhaps a little easier to deal with. Or my work is like a saltwater pool. That's just the right temperature. Hey, wait a sec. Okay. Suddenly, that same thing, you change your mental configuration around it such that it can become a hell of a lot more manageable. And do not underestimate the power of metaphor. I mean, I have all these friends. You know, part of the reason why I created Happiness Engineering is because I have all these friends who are super successful, but they have these really bad metaphors for going through life. They're like, ah, man, I'm under fire, or we're getting killed here. It's like, no, you're not getting killed, just not getting funding for the next round of your company. That's not the same as getting killed. That's not the same as getting shot at, okay? So you can say, I have some challenges. Hey, this is gonna be interesting. Hey, I'm curious how this is gonna turn out. Or you can go, under siege, dying. And the fact is, even right now, we are not under siege and we are not dying. If you just stay home, probably not gonna die, except for the time when you are gonna die, which is not gonna be in the next couple of weeks. So, and that's the other thing that I talk about during these talks, which is that all of this stuff comes from the fear of death. So you can somehow incorporate some kind of death meditation in your daily work, like the Bhutanese do five times a day. Once you make death manageable, everything else kind of pales in comparison. You're like, oh, death, that's gonna happen. Might as well, no big deal, right? And it's then the micro deaths of like death of career, death of free time, death of dating, death of hanging out with friends, death of catching a beer in the afternoon at a bar. All these little deaths will be a lot more manageable if you reconcile yourself with big death, because it's a guarantee. There's nothing truer than I have said that I have said today than the fact that you and I are going to die. It rhymes, must be true. Okay, great. If you have questions, please throw them at me before I go on to the next thing. I got a couple more. We're almost at 3 o'clock. I'll give you one more. I'll just give you one more. And I mentioned this in the very first Happiness Engineering talk that I did on Friday, and it's worth repeating, which is that relationships are the cornerstone of your entire existence. And the thing that propagate your health, happiness, well-being through time. It's the thing, okay? Every study shows this, relationships are the most important thing. And relationships have understandably taken a hit during this time because we can't get the hell out. You can't meet up with people. Okay, so that's hard. So what can you do instead is you can deliberately connect with people. So what I recommend that you do is to make 3 phone calls, actual phone calls with your friends, and call and say, hey, how you doing, okay? And this also means that you pick up the phone. So the crazy thing is, you know, over the past 10 years, I've noticed that people no longer pick up their phone. I've been calling my friends on their birthdays, and about 3-4 years ago, the percentage of people who picked up on their birthdays went down to about 0. So even on their own birthdays, a friend who's known them for 20 years, they don't pick up, guess what? That means it's a trend. So what you want to do right now is you want to change that trend. You want to be the person who makes the call, You want to be the person who picks up when people call. I don't care what you're doing. It is not more important than talking to your friend, because either A, they're checking up on you and want to see how you're doing, or they're not doing well and they need your help. So either way, that phone call you just received is your top emergency. That is the most urgent thing you can do. So put it on the schedule, 3 phone calls a day. I highly encourage you to do it. Do it for your own sanity. Do it to serve your friends as well. And that brings us to about 1 hour. So I'm here for you, for your questions. Thank you for your attention. I hope you can incorporate some of these things. If you even do one of the things that I shared with you today, your life will move in the right direction. And I've been to a lot of conferences and talks myself. And what I've noticed is that when I go and learn these things, I don't necessarily incorporate all of it into my life. It's safe to say I've maybe incorporated 10% at most of all the stuff that I've learned. So what I've done is I've created this happiness engineering course, and I'm going to be launching it in the next few weeks. And there's no time like the present. And especially now that people really need to be happy. So if you feel like these are practices that are useful to you, if you feel like these are practices you'd like to incorporate into your life, then what I encourage you to do is to go here to happinessengineering.com, apply, and fill out the application for the to be the first group of people who goes through the happiness engineering course. And the goal of the course is to take practices like this and incorporate it into your life such that it becomes part of you, part of your daily routine. So 5 areas of your life. So we've got, what do we got? We got relationships. We've got meaningful work. We got sleep, sound sleep. We've got mental fitness, and we got physical fitness. So each one of these has practices associated with it such that you can move your life in the direction of greater health, well-being, and thriving. So that's the goal of the Happiness Engineering course. And if you feel called that this is something you want to actually make part of your life, be who you are. I mean, happiness seems kind of important, doesn't it? Especially in this day and age. This is the thing. So all that stuff that we were chasing before, a lot of it doesn't seem quite so substantial anymore. So if this is the thing that you think is important to you, happiness, thriving, relationships, meaningful work, robust relationships, good sleep, I would love it if you would join me and this first cohort of about 20 people to figure out how to incorporate this into your life such that you become that epicenter of happiness that can radiate out to all people around you and be a source of joy, a source of growth, a source of equanimity for everyone who is connected to you. So that's what I've got coming up if you are interesting. Thank you, Dusika. Thank you, Lisa. What kind of medicine do I practice? This is the medicine that I practice. It's called happiness. So I do not actually practice as a physician, which means that I cannot go to the front lines and help out people with this particular pandemic issue that's happening right now. However, what we're doing here is also medicine. This is prevention. This is health. This is happiness. And if you are happy, if you are meditating, if you are exercising, if you're doing these things, the chance of you getting sick goes way down. Unfortunately, in this country, the United States of America, most of medical spending is downstream. It's like after you've run your car into a wall, then you can come to the hospital and that's the body shop, literally and figuratively, and we'll fix you. And what I'm doing here is I'm teaching people how to become expert drivers of their own car and their own minds such that you don't need to go to the hospital or the doctor, or at least a hell of a lot less. So that's what this is about. And also, if you feel like you would like a one-on-one session, please email me and I can arrange that for you. I've reduced my rates now, make it a little more affordable. Feel free to email me at dralvi@tiledating.com if you'd like one-on-one sessions to address your particular problem. If you feel like this stuff doesn't necessarily hit you directly, or if it's something a little heavier, either way, let me know what it is that you want to consult on, and I'll be happy to make myself a service. So questions. What else we got here? Great webinar. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, good. Do you have recommendations for resources for death meditations or books to come to terms with grief and fear of loss? Please. Woof. Okay, that's a lot. Wow. Okay. There's a really good book I read recently, and trying to remember what it was, by this gentleman who's the father-in-law of my friend, and therefore his name is, I forget. Let me check. Frank. His name is Frank. His name is Frank Ostaseski. There you go. Frank Ostaseski. remarkable gentleman. So he's been working at the Zen Hospice in San Francisco for about 30, 40 years. He has been present at around 3,000 deaths. So this man knows from death. And the book is just incredibly powerful, so eloquent, so beautiful and uplifting. Yes, a book about death is uplifting. So let me find out the title of the booky book and I will tell you what it's called. Amazon, talk to me. Frank Ostaseski. Boom. It's called The Five Invitations. 333 reviews, 5 stars. So I'm not kidding, this book is amazing. So The Five Invitations. So this is one of those books that you read it and it just changes your whole life. It's awesome. Great question. What else do we have here? I can't seem to focus on reading a book. Okay. Okay, these are good questions. You want recordings? Okay, good. Ah, I feel that nothing is going to be the way we knew before the lockdown, the way of meeting and relate with people. Fantastic. Okay. So what do we got? So for that, this is what I suggest. So one of the books that I recommended on the reading list is called Things Fall Apart. It's called When Things Fall Apart. So When Things Fall Apart, a heart advice in turbulent times. So look, there's never been a time when things have not been falling apart. There's never been a time when things have not been difficult. There's never been a time when your entire existence has been groundless, groundlessness. What guarantees your next breath? Your next breath, nothing. You've got 40 trillion cells in your body and they're all working together and somehow you get another breath. That is a bonus. Everything's a bonus. And therefore your entire existence is by grace. No, people say you have rights. You ain't got no rights. This is all one gigantic gift. Okay, so things are never gonna be the same way they were. Well, they were never gonna be the same way they were anyway. And guess what? You are adaptable, you meditate, you know what's up. And this is also an extraordinary opportunity to figure out, hey, what is it that I really want in a relationship? What kind of person do I wanna be with? But more important, what kind of person am I? And why would somebody wanna be with me? This is a chance to build yourself up into the kind of person you would want to date. And what does that constitute? What are your values? What can you work on? How can you make yourself a more supportive individual? How can you make yourself a more radiant version of yourself? So I talk about this kind of thing in the Tao of Dating book, but this is a great time for you to become fit mentally, fit physically, and fit emotionally. So I would grasp this opportunity. And guess what? There are two settings here. One, we all die. Two, we don't. And then we get to meet people again and all this will resume. And hey, maybe you get your wish, which is a boyfriend or a companion or a husband, and he's gonna drive you nuts anyway. So it's very important to anchor oneself in the present, recognize the groundlessness of it all, and to really just be here now and realize that this is pretty good. And you know, later on might be good too, or it might not. So in the meantime, this is pretty good. So The Power of Now is a really good book for that. So I encourage you to check that out. When Things Fall Apart, what is the reading list that you refer to? Great. The reading list is the one that I sent with the notice for this teleseminar, this class. So it's the reading list for the end of the world, reading list for the end of time. So I will resend that because I think it's a great reading list. I mean, this is like the top 8 greatest books I've ever read on the subject of equanimity, peace, greater joy in your life, and really managing your mind. I mean, this is about mental health. How do you run your mind? Is the way you're running your mind serving you, or could you be doing better? So, good. Great questions. Continue, please. If you have questions, something specific. If it's specific, you can send me a private message, and that way, not everybody sees it at the same time. You can also put a fake name up there and hide yourself and ask a question. There's all kinds of ways of doing this anonymously, but feel free to ask. Okay, great. So thank you, Bill, for that. I will put the link to the email in the Nomad list, Nomad group, so everybody else can see it too. Fantastic. Yes, If you are male and you're on this call, you probably didn't get the Dial Dating emails. That's my guess. Fantastic. Okay, more questions. More questions. More questions? More questions. I can unmute all of you so you can all say hi. Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you all. Hi. Fantastic. So is it easier to ask questions like this? Please feel free. You got Heidi, you got Rosanda, you got Selena, you got all kinds of people.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Tina, how you doing? All right.
Hey, Allie.
Steven, Lauren, Rosanna, Sarah, all the superstars are in the house. Priyanka is back. Pinar, all the way from England. It is now 11 o'clock in England. Pinar is still here. Hey, fantastic. Good. More questions. Good. I'm going to mute now. Great. So, okay, great. Reading list. Tell you what, I will put the reading list up here right now. Because I have it, because that's what computers can do. And here we go. Boom, shakalaka, bam. It is also, oops, sorry, that's not it. It is also on Medium. I just posted on Medium, so if you have a Medium account, go check it out over there. That way I get points, clap for it. I should probably get that link and send it to people. Okay, fantastic. So more questions, please. If you have questions, now's a good time to ask them. Your particular issue, some challenges you have, and no challenge too small, no challenge too big. Look, here's the thing. So there's a funny story I heard recently about this person whose husband was dying, was in the hospital, just really unhappy. And this other person was listening to it, and she's like, wow, you know, I've been worried about the color of my curtains and how they clash with the floor, and I'm feeling just as crappy as she is, but mine is so insubstantial. But look, you know what? Your body doesn't know the difference between substantial and insubstantial pain. It's just pain. So it's all about how you manage it. I gave you a bunch of tools. You can use these things to manage whatever feelings you have. And if it's small, it can still bring you down, right? And the thing is, we live in these affluent societies such that the big problems like malaria and beating yourself and not getting attacked by tribesmen with machetes have been solved. So all you have to worry about is like the little stuff. It's like, oh, the carpet in my car, it's like all grody and stuff. It's like, you have a car, that's pretty good. But that's not the way the brain works. The brain is looking to forage on something to worry about. So we have this thing called negativity bias. And there's a really good book that I read recently. It's called The Upside of Your Dark Side. It's all about negativity bias and how you focus on the bad and the pain. And you know, that's good, but can also bring us down. So tame that brain. Will you email the recordings of yesterday and today? Yes, I can do that. Elisa Ragazzino asks, do you recommend journaling? That's a very good question. I don't do it. So I can't give you a personal recommendation, but a lot of people like it. So if you like it and if it works for you, by all means, go and do it. The thing that I do know about is this practice of emotional writing. It's probably not called exactly that, but it was developed by this guy, Jamie something or other. And the writing technique involves emotional writing is 15 minutes a day for 4 days in a row. You get intense, you focus, and you write for 15 minutes about something that's been bothering you, something traumatic, something heavy, whatever difficulty you're having. And after 4 days, you tend to feel a lot better. And that's been tested over and over and over again. It works really well. Name of the book is called, you may notice that if you get me started on book recommendations, I may never stop. So watch out what you get yourself into. So James, there's a lot of James here. Okay, writing. Here we go. It's called Opening Up by Writing It Down. And it's called Expressive Writing. So James Pennebaker, he's great. You don't have to read the book. You just watch a video or something and they cover it. You can get the essence of what it is in a TED Talk. So Opening Up by Writing It Down. I am. There you go. So yeah, it's called expressive writing. It's a great tool. I highly recommend that. I also do recommend what Julia Cameron calls the morning pages. So sit down and write 3 pages out every morning of just whatever's on your brain. Just do a massive brain dump and you will feel lighter afterwards. And that's not quite the same as journaling. It's all about just boom, just do it. So that does work. Oh wait, that went to only one person. Ah, why does this happen? Hold on, let me send it to everybody. Everyone, here you go, everyone. Boom. Opening up by writing it down, expressive writing. Great, fantastic. So Celine says they're an Italian leather-bound journals, takes years to fulfill ones. I have 20 years of Italian-bound journals, sort of like a history of my life. I love it, fantastic. Okay, people want to get on my email list. That is definitely possible. Go to taoofdating.com. That puts you on the Tao of Dating email list. Okay, what else you got here? All right. Fantastic. All right, good. People want to see yesterday's session. Okay, great. We will do that. We can do all these things. Okay, so I'm going to assume we have no more questions unless I see them over here. I'll see if anything came in. Okay, what do we got here? If you have no more questions, I will close this session and I will do more of these. We got one more question. How can we feel connected if we cut down on social media and struggle to talk because of energy? Oh, that's good. It's a good one. So here's the dealio. So social media can be very useful if you use it in a way to connect with people one-on-one. And also keep tabs on your friends and stuff. But the one-on-one is essential. So this idea of conversation, seeing somebody's face on Zoom or something, that interactivity, that deep sharing, it's all about getting a little bit deeper than the superficiality of just seeing the headlines on social media. So what you want to do is you want to use social media in a good way. And it's an incredibly powerful tool right now. So I don't see Twitter necessarily making you happy. I don't see Instagram necessarily making you happy. I do see Facebook making you happy because you go on there and you can check up on your friends and send them a message. I do see Zoom making you happy. I do see using the simultaneous voice chat function on your phone. It's also called the phone on your phone. You can use that and that will make you a lot happier. So these are all ways of doing it. And the energy, well, if you're feeling low energy, then we shared some techniques today that you can use to build up your energy and you can move around, or maybe you can go for a walk and run and then come back in when you have more energy, then you can talk and you'll be in a better spot. But manage your energy. Make sure you don't get too low. And in that way, you have the energy to do the things that can pull you out of the cycle of the dip of going down in energy. It's very important. Okay, good question. Good. All right, cool. I shall assume that we are done for today. So if you have further questions, you know how to find me. Dr. Allie B. Maybe at taoofdating.com. That will find me. Some of you are connected to me via other media. Oh, wait, that went to just one person again. Why do you do this to me, you gizmo? Overall, Zoom isn't pretty good. It has its quirks, but pretty darn good so far. Much better than the webinar platforms I was using. So thank you for your attention. And the biggest gift you can give to me is to tell me how these techniques are working in your life. You say, hey, I use the reframe. Hey, I use that. I did the meditation. I feel so much better. Send me an email. That is what gives me a boost. You want to send me a photo? That's great. You want to send me goofy video? That's great. What actually brings my spirits up is to know that this thing that I'm doing is having some kind of effect on you. That's why I like this platform so much better than a webinar, because I see faces. Hi, faces. How you doing? That was me waving at you. You can't see them waving at you, but I'm waving at you. So there you go. And thank you so much for your presence, for whatever gift you're giving to the world today. And I invite you to go out there and be that epicenter of light, of joy, and of equanimity, because we are nodes in these vast networks, and whatever we do propagates out through it. So when you shine your light, you brighten all the people around you. Thank you so much for your light. Cheers. See you soon. We'll do this again next week.